Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on TMS, I've known this kid since she came out the chute.
Johnson mind meld.
What's an aquifer? Because I'd like really wanted to know.
Diarrhea mind meld.
Through the ground and gravity and stuff.
Big adult feet running down the hallway.
Carter caught the double dragon.
Larry Waterman.
They didn't have science and math back in the 90s.
A little Brian Divot.
We named the other lung Indiana.
Congratulations on using 65,000 gallons of water.
Oh, thanks. Milkshake. It's a neat idea.
All stuff are pointing north.
The ditch snakes can have the light with Stephen and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Mommy, will you read to me?
Not now, Junior. Can't you see? Don't have time. I'm cleaning floors. Won't you please go play outdoors?
Quite a dish to come out of any casserole.
The Morning Stream. We're not toys. We're action figures.
Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, July 10th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's, I almost said Brian Ibbett. That is Bobby Frankenberger sitting in for Brian Ibbett, who is not here today. I'll explain
Hello.
In a moment. But Bobby, welcome to the show. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. It's always a blast to be sitting in Brian's seat. It's being on the show with you is always fun. I love it every time.
He leaves a little divot for you, a little bum divot.
And, yeah, yep. It's
fit right
it's
there.
Just the right size.
Yep, it's
and
good
temperature.
Big. I wasn't going to ask about that part, but I'm glad you brought it up. Hey, so if you're at home going, wait, where's Brian? Man, what a weird week. So. I'll kind of do it in reverse order, but just when you thought everything was getting normal again, which would have been Saturday, Friday night, Saturday morning, very last second before FilmSack was to be recorded, Brian informed the rest of the hosts that Tina had to go to the ER. And we're like, oh no, what? You know, kind of freaking out or urgent care. The first night, I think, was just urgent care, but. She was worried she had pneumonia, a cold or something had gotten worse and had gotten into her lungs. And anyway, took her down there. Sure enough, diagnosis was, yep, pneumonia. Here are your meds. Here's your inhaler. You know, the things you do when you have that. I've had it before. It sucks. It's the worst. But with quick, proper care, usually, you know, you get in, get out. And that's kind of where he thought he was at. So Friday, he's like, Saturday's like, yeah, so we'll have to bump the show, but I think I'm fine for Sunday. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. We bump it a day, no big deal.
Yeah.
We get an early morning, like 4 a.m. text from Brian in our Discord group that says, it went to the other lung. We're in the ER right now. And you know, it sounded like things had escalated. So we were all freaking out, like, oh my gosh, dude, I hope she's okay. Anything you need? Can we do it? You know, the whole rigmarole. And, you know, they were getting her taken care of, getting her comfortable, getting her room and all that. And she has been in the hospital since then and should be coming home today. Discharge today is what Brian's expecting. But as a result, completely, you know, effed his weekend and hers. Yeah. And, of course, family first rules here. So we just said, I guess we're bumping FilmSack a week and that's fine. We don't mind doing that. We always make room for family stuff. Now, that would be a big deal on its own. All right, that would be enough to, and that's why Brian's not here today. He's you know, going to be helping get
family
her discharged.
First. That's why I put some food on the floor for my daughter and said, You're on your own for 2 hours.
That's right. You're first. Eat it. That's it. That's the whole definition of family first. Eat your food I put on the floor. So that's the reason he's not here. He should be here tomorrow, all things going well. And it sounds like she's doing much better. So we're good.
That's very good.
But pneumonia can eat a turd. It's stupid, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. What a dumb time to feel anything bad. You want to feel good in the summer. It's so stupid. So that is all on top of me coming off the worst week of my life. Now, I've told the story a few places now, Skim and some other streams and stuff. You're all sick of it. I understand. The diarrhea put up, I talked about it. But I'm going to just give you the short of it so you can just feel what I feel. And know what I know, like Spock.
Feel what you feel.
You know, Spock says that when he touches your face. No, it's feel what I feel. Know what I know. Whatever. Mm. What's that called? Oh, the mind meld. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Bob, you're getting your own personal mind meld here on the.
Okay, I'm ready.
On the morning stream. So
diarrhea mind meld.
Oh my gosh, dude! You have no idea. So last week, I'm not going to tell it step by step, but basically, this is the short of it. Last Monday, and I talked about it on the show Wednesday. Because we did have a show Wednesday morning, but we didn't have a show Monday or Tuesday for the holiday, which now I regret. I wish I would have done a show both those days. Yeah. If I knew what was coming, I would have said, screw the holiday. We'll do shows those days. I didn't know what was coming. And what was coming was this. The water main thing between the street where the city owns it and has responsibility and me, where I own it and have responsibility, broke. Big old PVC pipe. Split and was gushing. We found out the actual total, 65,000 gallons of wasted water in June. And they never told us until the bill came. So we get the bill on Monday, and the bill says, congratulations.
New record.
You have poured 65,000 gallons of water into the earth. Well done. Maybe check your business, you know? So we're like, all right, fine. We have our favorite plumber come out. We really like these guys. Mm-hmm. They do nice work. They don't screw you. They're good. Credited, insured, all the things, right?
Yeah.
So they come out and they go, well, it's not your meter. I'm like, damn it. I was hoping it was the meter, you know, something simple. And the meter was just wrong because we couldn't find all this standing water. We couldn't find this Olympic freaking swimming pool that we supposedly created in the underground. We couldn't find it. And the guy goes, well, that's not unusual. You guys are up here and high, you're up high. So what happens is it goes down the aquifers, you see. So, Bobby, this is good to have you here with your science brain because he kept going, it just goes through the aquifers. And I said, sure. I don't know what the hell those even are. I've heard of them, but I haven't really ever paid attention to what an aquifer is. I assume it means like natural waterways, like, you know, through the gravel and the dirt and the stuff and the gravity, and it goes down to that river, and then that river goes that way. And I think that's what he means. I don't know.
An aquifer is it's sort of like an underwater flow of water.
Yeah that's it,
an
right?
Area where it's non-confined, like it's not being held firmly in the soil and it can move more.
Right, which makes sense. I kind of picture it as like a big ant farm, kind of, you know?
I think it's kind of like that.
Yeah, you got like twisty turns and everything. And we're not at a bottom of any kind of basin or low point, so it wasn't collecting here, which is good. Okay, this is actually a good thing. And it didn't affect anyone else, which is also good, but it's bad because I just cannot fathom the idea. We try to be a relatively conscious home where we're paying attention to waste. We don't want to waste stuff, right? I don't want to just throw crap away or add plastic to the environment or any of those things. We try to be good citizens that way. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's important. And, you know, even though it can feel sometimes like you don't make much of a dent as a single household, it's important to us. So being told that we just flushed without knowing it 65,000 gallons into the frickin' earth just really rubbed me wrong. I was so pissed.
Anyway,
once we got a hold of that, and by the way, the leak apparently the crack started in March, has slowly become a bigger and bigger leak. Wasn't enough to be really moving the needle until suddenly right around the 1st of June through the rest of June, that thing just opened up like your mama's apple pie on a Monday morning. I don't know. That's not even a phrase. I made all that up. That's how much water it was. All right.
Wow. You needed a new a new phrase, yeah.
I still do. I still need a new one. That was not good. But anyway,
But then something else opened up, right?
And then something else opened up. So this stuff just gushing and doing its thing, and we have to pay that, of course. We have to pay for this water we didn't use.
That's crazy.
I know. I mean, once it gets past their meter, this is where it sucks. Like, I understand. At some point, it's your responsibility. Like, where's the dividing line? And I found out the dividing line is literally right after where their meter is placed. So there's the meter. There's the line in the street that everybody pulls out of that's underground, like 6 feet under. Then there's this meter that everybody has that's how the city knows how much water you're using and how much you can also read the reader or the meter and find out if you want to go in there. That's what these little like mini manholes are in people's like strip of grass between the sidewalk and the streets are. But from that meter to the house is specifically designated as the homeowner's and nobody else's.
Right. Okay.
And even though it's like away from us, it's part of us somehow. So this thing splits open like a big old sieve and just dumping water into the thing. The guy goes, yeah, we're going to have to do this and this and this. And that meant digging three separate 5.5 foot holes.
Oh my God.
5.5 foot deep and about 5 feet wide, mind you.
Wow. You could bury a body in there.
We absolutely could have. In fact, I was worried they might find one when they were digging in there. Right. They didn't, but they, you know, I expected bones or something like
Thank
a dog.
Goodness they didn't find the body you have down there.
I know, right? I shouldn't even probably be saying it out loud on the show, but when I buried that body in 62, maybe the remains of all, even the bones have gone. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, was that behind the meter? Maybe that's the city's responsibility now.
Oh, good point. The body. See, those rules are more ambiguous about where the body is and who's responsible. Well, anyway, this is not by no means an admission of guilt, and it's a cold case, and nobody cares about it anymore.
Right, statute of limitations.
Yeah, I'm all good. Although I guess murder is the one that doesn't have any statute of limitations.
That's true.
Maybe it wasn't murder, though. People don't know. People don't know. I may have buried my grandma there. Also,
the jury's literally out on that. That's what we're saying.
Also, I wasn't alive in 62, so, you know, what am I even saying? Note to self, never represent yourself in court. Bad idea, Scott. So anyway, this is all going on, and they're digging these holes, and they bring out these tractor things, and they're just ripping my grass apart, and it's just awful, right? I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I'm trying to think to myself, no, this isn't that bad. This is okay. Go ahead and dig. You know, there are people out there with way worse problems today than this.
Sure.
We'll deal with it. Oh, and they had to turn the water off. This is an important point of this. So they shut the water off in the house. That means no running water of any kind. No toilets, although the toilets have whatever water they had in them at the time of the shutoff, but one flush and you're done.
Right.
And we're thinking, it's like camping. This will be fine. We've done this. We've gone camping. We camped all the time in the day. We know what to do. Before we shut all this off, let's take the hose and we'll fill up a couple of big buckets and we'll fill up this this cooler thing that's like you take camping with you. We'll fill that up with water. We'll use that for like hand washing and teeth brushing, that sort of thing. Then we'll have kind of gray water buckets for other needs. If you need to pee, fine. We'll use that. Just pour it in the toilet that creates the suction that sends the thing down. No big deal. We can deal with this. We'll even go, if somebody needs to drop a ho-ho, if you know what I'm saying, we'll just go over to the grocery store, which we did a couple of times that day. It's fine.
You also have some big 5.5 foot holes in the ground.
Yeah. If we need those, they're there. So they're just getting this initial part done and the water's off, and we know we're hunkering down because they can't do the work on Tuesday to finish it. So we know that the 4th is going to be no water. And so we're planning ahead, trying to be smart about it. Whatever you can do, we're doing it. Here's where things go south. Some people are so sick of this story, but I just have to. It's helping me. It's therapy to get it out. All right?
I understand. I totally. Yeah.
Because Bobby, this was like, I don't even know the word. This was traumatic. All right.
Hey, you're telling me the story. I haven't heard the story. I've only seen a handful of tweets about it, and that was you're telling. So tell me.
Oh, good. You've seen the trailer. Now catch it in theaters. So here you go. Tuesday we're going, well, all right, what are we doing for the 4th? Like, let's try to make a holiday happen somehow. Though I was kind of mad, like the U.S. was like a girlfriend that really pissed me off the weekend before, and she's still expecting
That's how we all feel about it.
She was still expecting me to party with her on Tuesday, which is like, what are you talking about? And so we were already kind of begrudging. I don't know. I was irritated, but the day's going on, and we hear from Taylor and Dylan, "Hey, we're going to bring Van by tonight." They were at some other barbecue. On his side of the family, we're going to bring him by tonight. And then when it gets dark, we'll go watch fireworks on the ridge with you guys. We have this place where you can just sit up top and just see it forever. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're like, yeah, sounds great. Bring the kids over. So they come over, they got the baby, they got Phoebe, and they got Van. And Van is, he just looks a little pale. He comes into the backyard and he's like, "Hey," he calls me Pops. "Hey, Pops." And he comes over and hugs me, and he just seems kind of, you know, tired. And I'm like, "You okay, buddy?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm okay."
You just figured it was emotional exhaustion from grappling with the state of our union on this day when we're supposed to be celebrating.
Correct. You know, he just really is like, how do I put into perspective a recent Supreme Court decision with my love of this fine land, you know, like us, that you felt like us, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. He at one point goes, "My stomach hurts." And Kim says, "Oh, okay, let's go inside." So he thought he had to just poop. So they go in there, put him on the can. Remember, all we got in there is whatever water's left and no way to flush whatever happens.
This is the one poop.
Yeah, this is it. This is all you're going to get. And he goes. And then while sitting there, he looks at Kim, and Kim recognizes the face because we've been doing this parenting thing for a long time. We know the face.
Oh, this I know the face you're talking
about. Yeah, he makes this face, and she goes, "Oh no!" She grabs him,
nearest bucket,
picks him up, because there's nothing else in there. Turns him around, and now it's the double dragon, we call it here at the house,
right?
And he gets it everywhere, just Ralph's all over the bathroom. And poor kid, just sad and hates it, and he's crying while he's doing it. It's just awful. We don't know this. We're all out in the backyard enjoying the sun and chilling out and talking and stuff. We don't know this is happening in the house. Kim comes out and goes, "Yeah, he threw up," and you know, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, "Oh no, oh, I'm so sorry, buddy." And he comes out and he's just looking all pale, and he hugs his mom, and she's like trying to, you know, console him or whatever. And then he goes, "Ugh." They pick him up, hang him over the side of the house over there where there's like mulch, and he just lets rip again. I mean, he's seriously throwing up, and we're thinking, "Oh no, this isn't just I had too much watermelon and gone on a trampoline. This is something else." Yeah. So they're like, "You know what? I think we should take him home." And I said, "Yeah, it seems like he'd do better than here. I mean, we have no water." She's like, "I know." So they leave. They're barely there. Carter doesn't even make physical contact with the boy. I hugged him once. Kim dealt with him in the house. But for the most part, we were outside. We didn't really have to deal with much. None of us thought, "Oh, this will just now tear through everyone." Nobody had that in their head. Mm-hmm. They go away. Tuesday ends. Wednesday, 6:30 in the morning, or I'm sorry, 2:30 in the morning, we hear feet running down the hallway. Big, big adult feet. And Kim wakes up, and I hear her go, "Uh-oh." And I go, "What?" And she goes, "I think something's wrong." And she gets up and checks down the hall. And Carter is got the double dragon.
Oh God!
Like horrible. Worst is the sickest she's ever been. I've known this kid. I've known her since she was, you know, came out the chute. She's never been this sick ever. Just ridiculous. Every 5 minutes, just awful. Just like the worst thing ever. And we were just flabbergasted. I'm like, she didn't even touch the boy. How did she come in contact with this thing? Because he's clearly patient zero. We think anyway. We don't really know. And he probably got it from a park, touched some, like, you know, hobby horse or something and gave it to everybody. Anyway, so she's sick as crap. And about half an hour into that, I start feeling it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm going to die. And then Kim starts feeling it. We're like, are you kidding me? We have two working bathrooms in this house and they're not working. Like, there's no water. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, literally, we have three sick people going outside like a bucket brigade, bringing buckets in to kind of manage this. Right?
Oh my God.
Total nightmare. And we're running out of water fast. Like, we thought we had enough. We're just like, no, not with this. This is never going to be enough. Now,
you've got your own personal version of the postman, right?
Yeah, and I know, look, I know it annoys Brian when I bring this up. I don't actually want to have a barf streak, okay? For those I always bring it up and go, yep, 2005. It's not actually a thing I'm proud of. I have to explain this a lot to people. I wish my body would just say, yeah, no, this is the right time. It's a natural occurrence. You should throw up now.
So you were feeling super nauseous is what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. And I just would not. I wanted to. I tried.
Yeah. In those moments, you as much as you don't like throwing up, in those moments, you're ready. You're just like, what can I do right now to make myself barf?
It's like I needed to, but I still couldn't. So yes, the streak is still intact, but not because I want it to be. All right, I really wanted to black and white Cookie Seinfeld this thing and be done, but it didn't happen. And so, as a result, the single dragon was my problem. And I probably felt sicker for longer than the rest of them because of this reason. I just can't do it. I try. I just can't do it. I'm an anti-barfer.
You were the frustrated double dragon.
You're not wrong. So I spent a lot of time dealing with the South Pole, if you take my drift.
Yep.
Actually, where's that? I have that guy here.
Diarrhea.
That guy. But everybody, Carter's sick all night. It's like 24 hours hardcore, and then after that, you just feel like crap. We still don't have water. Thursday comes around. They thought they were going to have water Wednesday. Thursday comes around, they're like, well, we think we're good today for sure, because there were some unforetold circumstances. Something cropped up with another pipe. They had to replace something. It's like, you know how this stuff goes. It gets complicated. And so they're letting us know every time. By the way, this guy had the worst BO I've ever smelled on a human being. This is just a side note. When you're already nauseous and feel gross and your plumber's like, hey, I got to come in and look at the valve in the house. Is that okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Come on in. And he walks by and you went, oh, like, I don't know even what to compare it to. It was so overwhelming. Plus, all of our senses are on high alert. And it's just like,
yeah.
It knocked me over. It was so strong. And I thought, speaking of Seinfeld, it's going to be like that where the house never gets rid of it. It's just going to smell like this forever. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be fine. Anyway, and I kept worrying about them. I'm like, they're going to get it. Like, if we got it this easy from just the kid visiting for 10 minutes, these plumbers are getting it. Like, we're all getting it. Everybody's going to get it. We're all getting the plague. All right. So just to sum it up or to shorten it all, we finally get water late Thursday afternoon, about 3:30. I'll never have a better shower than I did at 3:45 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing. For real. Everybody, do me this favor. Sit down with your loved ones and discuss the miracle that modern plumbing is, that running hot and cold water should never be taken for granted again, or that it's clean. It's amazing what it is. What we have done, what we hath wrought is an incredible human advancement, and you should never ever take it for granted, because when it's not there and you need it the most, you're a caveman and it's the worst. But the minute it kicks on,
I'm gonna recount this story to my children anytime that they're complaining about like the state of whatever is going on in their life. It's going to be a cautionary tale and a tale about how they should appreciate the current situation. And we'd be like, just let me tell you the story about the Johnsons.
Yeah, it's the 2020s version of their starving kids in China. Eat your food.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. You have working water.
Yep.
It could be worse. Let me tell you.
Yeah. So when the water came back, the world got better. Everything got better. Mm-hmm. And also we were all starting to feel better, but still pretty crappy, like just weak. And I couldn't eat for like 2 days. I didn't eat, just couldn't eat. So it was a lot of fluids and just trying to stay hydrated.
It was probably terrifying. You were looking at the food thinking, am I going to see this again in 30 minutes?
Yeah. Right. I don't want to see this again ever is what I would say to it. Well, I don't, I guess what I want to say is I want to see it again. I just don't want to see it in 20 minutes. I just don't.
Yeah.
I want
to
see it tomorrow. It's horrible. But anyway, so everything's on the up at this stage until we get the bill for what this is going to cost.
Yikes.
$5,800.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we have some insurance on this sort of thing, but there's a deductible, so we're still out of pocket a huge amount. It's not going to cover all of it.
Yeah,
I think it may only cover like $2,000 of it. It's I don't really have it right now. It's a big mess on that front. Forget about that though. At this point, I am willing to do whatever it takes, a little debt if I have to, whatever, so that this never happens again. Yeah. I never want this to happen again, because what is this timing? What exactly are we doing here? Like, how can this timing be any worse than it was by having this happen on a week where we had no water? Like, of any week of any time ever, or even a holiday happening right at the moment, like, it couldn't have been stupider. So at the end of it all, it just feels stupid, and I hate it all. And now I have three really ugly wounds in my yard. They've refilled the holes, obviously, but they look like death out there. But it's fine. Oh, and these chuckleheads, as much as I like them, they forget things when they do work here. So there's these two signs that say sidewalk closed. That way they blocked off the sidewalk for about a block to say, hey, don't come through here because there's construction and holes and everything. They just left those, and I don't know what to do with them. What do you do with those? They're like the foldables, you know what I mean? Like the, they look like that. They look like a little teepee, and on both sides it says sidewalk closed. They're like big city industrial, like thick rubber sign things, and I don't want those. What am I supposed to do with that stuff?
They're yours now, and you get to use them for, I don't know, movie props.
I guess next
time.
I guess so. Yeah.
Put them in the background of your stream.
There. So we're going to call them today and just say, hey, what the hell? Come get these stupid things. I don't want these.
Sell them. Sell them to reimburse yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So it was all very big, dumb, ugly time. Thank you all for indulging the story. I'm done telling it now. I'm never going to talk about it again. It is in my rearview mirror. I guess I'm glad this happened now and not on my family reunion at the end of the month.
Oh, no kidding.
With everyone there, that would be really bad.
Man, can you imagine?
Yeah, no, dude. I mean, holy shiz. You know what really bugs me, though, is knowing that I was in Vegas in April with you, and this water leak was happening then even, and we didn't know it. Like, we're not even at home, and this thing is just going right into the thing, just dumping water into the world as if it's free, as if everyone has so much water, we don't care, you know?
Yeah, well, you were replenishing the aquifer. And by the way, I did look up, just to be sure, an aquifer is not like an ant farm. An aquifer is just what you call the water that is collected in either the rock bed or the soil or anything underneath ground. When you dig a well, you dig into the aquifer, for example.
Oh, so there's water. It's water in there. Groundwater, basically.
Yeah, it's like groundwater.
Okay, so we were putting water in the groundwater. And he said if we lived downstream or downhill from where we lived, we would have had massive flooding.
Well, yeah, because hills. So, though, I know this about groundwater is that it stays at a pretty level kind of a business, you know, underground. If you were to cut a profile into the earth, you would see that the groundwater is level and then the hills rise up around it, you know.
Mm.
In fact, like a river or a lake, like natural ones, are when the ground dips below the water table. So,
I forgot to mention, this whole time, we're also babysitting a third dog, someone else's dog who's not, isn't behaved very well, and the other dogs don't like her. So that's going on. Yeah. And then they add this to it. During this entire time they're doing the construction, even when they weren't there, the back gate had to be open because one of the holes was directly below it. Which means we couldn't just let the dogs go outside and pee and bring them back in. They had to be leashed and walked. And if I leash Rainer, she won't pee in the backyard where I need her to. She thinks a leash means it's time to go walk for 3 miles. And I'll mark my territory when I do that. So I had to take her every time. Sun's beating down. I haven't eaten anything. I lost 10 pounds, by the way. 10 effing pounds. That doesn't even seem healthy. That seems bad.
Yeah, that's too fast.
Too fast over a few days, right? But I'm gonna use it to my advantage here, though. I'm gonna this kickstarts a diet like no other, and I'm gonna.
You need to enter into a hot dog eating competition.
Oh my gosh, dude!
Win the prize money.
Can you freaking imagine? Like, I don't even want You know what sounds disgusting right now? Like if you said, Scott, because I do have an appetite back, I can eat now. But if you said, hey, Scott, how would you like some, even if they're the freshest, best, hand-cut, perfectly made French fries of any kind? F off. No. No, I don't want them. I'd rather die than have French fries right now, and I mean that. That sounds disgusting. So I'm going to use that as a sign that I can take advantage of this, kick off some diet goals, and not only keep that 10 off, but you know, keep this ball rolling, as the kids are fond of saying in the year 2023.
Turn that poop lemon into lemonade.
Poop lemonade.
I don't know.
That's a bad idea too. And also a quick note of like, actually it's something that was really good and it surprised me. Dan, the tabletop man. So do you hear that sound? I gotta find this wire today. Do you hear that? Oh, it went away. I think I know where it is. Anyway, Dan, the tabletop man, his advice was, hey, go out and get like when you're feeling well enough, go get a milkshake. And I thought, what? That sounds like a bad idea.
That does sound like a bad.
And he says the reason is there's a ton, and as long as you're not like lactose intolerant or something, there's a ton of like fat in there, and your body needs it. You need that fat, you need that little bit of that sugar bump, you need just some stuff that you haven't been getting, and you'll get it if you just go get yourself a shake. So I did that.
That's a good point.
And he was right. That's the best I felt all week after I had that.
Yeah, quick replenishing. Give yourself some carbs, but it'll probably give you some quick energy, and then the fats. That's a neat idea.
Yeah, it was all right. So Dan, you
definitely going to use that as my excuse to eat a milkshake next time I'm sick. Look, a pharmacist told me to do it.
Yeah, a pharmacist I know secondhand via a show I sometimes co-host on told me. Anyway, so that was that. And a quick note here that I don't know if the rest of the world's like this, but usually video games are comfort for me when I don't feel well. Mm. Zero desire to play video games during all this. None.
Well, that's when you know it's bad.
That's when you know it's bad for me, especially because that's usually just the perfect distraction. What I did instead is I went down a Wes Anderson obsession road. I watched a bunch of Wes Anderson. For some reason, I had never seen. I'm getting ready to see Asteroid City, which is in theaters now.
Yeah.
But I love his movies, but I'd never seen, for I don't know some reason, one of his greatest movies by pretty much everyone's account, which was Grand Budapest Hotel. So I watched that. That movie's great. Can't recommend it enough. Loved it. 2014's Grand Budapest Hotel. Then I watched The French Dispatch. I still haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom, which for a lot of people is like their favorite. I still got to watch that, so I'm gonna. But I'm on a tear right now. I'm inspired to watch like all things Wes Anderson. So for whatever reason, that was comforting during our hell week in hell that we had.
Well, I'm glad you found some comfort somewhere.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, are you on Threads? Are you doing this Threads thing at all?
I looked at the notes this morning for TMS and I saw that and I've heard people talking about it and I was like, okay, I guess I should check this out. And so I did. Is it just Instagram Twitter?
It's Instagram Twitter. Well, Instagram is technically, it's Meta, so it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's whatever.
But I know it's, the app called themselves like it's connected to Instagram.
Yeah, it's Instagram.
And I imported my Instagram account.
Yeah, exactly. And your followers and all that. It's exactly that. And it came at a time, I mean, the two billionaires are now verbally fighting, which is kind of funny to watch. But I think they were seizing on the grump over at Twitter, and they were like, all right, well, now's our time. Also, there's a bunch of Twitter's pissed because these are a bunch of ex top developers at Twitter that he fired without cause. So it broke all their contracts, their non-competes, all that stuff. He just summarily fired a bunch of people, and these people went to work on this project over at Meta, and now Musk is mad and says that's cheating. I don't think that's cheating. But anyway, they're up to 100 million users as of today. And this thing's only 4.5 days old or something. Anyway, I'm just letting people know if you're using it, I'm over there. It's actual Scott, okay? Because someone else has Scott Johnson because they're buttholes and have had it forever and I never was able to get it. So I had to do one that was, you know, whatever. So I did. Yeah. It's actual Scott, A-C-T, you know, how you spell actual. I don't have to tell you. but you can search that. Threads.net is how you get on there. Brian's posting like crazy over there as well. In fact, that's where a lot of people first heard about Tina's hospitalization. That's over at Coverville, of course. He got that because he always gets his name. And then, Bobby, did you sign up? Did you get in there then?
Yeah, I tried to change my Instagram handle so it'd be something closer to what I like now. So I tried Bobby, Bobby Franks, Bobby Frank, Bobby underscore. None of it worked. It's all taken. So I had to go with my, just keep my current Instagram handle on Threads, which is GM Funky Town.
Ah, GM Funky Town.
Like general manager or game master, which is really what the GMs were supposed to stand for.
Yeah.
Funky Town. Or I think you might even be able to just search for my name. And to prove it, I'll take a picture right now and post it of the stream.
Nice.
So can you not even do that?
No. You can do pictures. Yeah.
Well, I'll take a picture and figure out how to.
It's a little threadbare on the features front. There's stuff they need to add. They claim they've got a followers only tab coming. They've got integrated GIF support, all that stuff. You can do GIFs now, but you have to paste them in from other apps. In some ways, it's certainly not as feature rich as Twitter, but it also doesn't seem to be so butthole-y right now. Algorithmically, it seems to favor, some people on Twitter would call this bad, but it's a nice change for me. Is that it tends to favor positivity in my feed, which I think is good. And I'm getting a lot more engagement over there. Twitter's just turned into a sour mess. So anyway, I like it for now. And you know, people are like, "What? Suddenly you're a Facebook fan?" No. What this means is, you know how someone shitty runs for office, but then somebody shittier runs for office at the same time? What's that called? You know, the South Park butthole, or no, a turd sandwich and a something. Well, I can't remember the choice between a turd sandwich and a something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what the other thing is, but that's what this is. I'm not rooting for Mark Zuckerberg, but I'm definitely rooting against Elon Musk.
Right.
Like, it's not even about that for me. To me, it's like, where's the best place to communicate with the community? And this so far seems pretty good. So, anyway.
Can I also say that social media networks and popping up and doing, it's the one thing that really does make me feel old. So, keep up and
nothing else makes you feel old. That's interesting.
Also waking up in the morning with having realized I pulled a muscle while I was sleeping also makes me feel old, but
I wonder, here's a quick question for you. Speaking of that exact thing, I feel really good physically today.
Yeah.
More than I did before I got sick. So my question is, it's entirely possible that physical ailments and I, in particular, I can speak for anybody else, including you, but my physical ailments that I may ever experience are probably more tied to diet than I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think when I'm eating badly, I feel bad. You know,
yeah.
I'm not the one who's going to say that means you should go on, you know, like every 4 months you should go on a 7-day fast or anything. I think that that's probably a lot of BS. But
yeah.
But I do think that I feel noticeably worse when I've been eating poorly. So
I think there's something to it.
I think there's definitely a connection there.
So I got to ride this train, man. I got to take what I tell you.
What you said is right. You need to use this as an opportunity to be like, you like hit the reset button sort of and just be like, let's just try to, you know, you did some spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah. I took out the garbage, left it at the curb. Almost literally. And I'm ready for a new day, guys. Let's turn sour apples into tasty gas station hot pockets. All right, that's what we're gonna do. Okay. Oh, Bobby, do you have anything else going on? I kind of took over the top of the show today with my terrible story. Do you have anything going on?
You know, not a lot. This week for me has been a little weird too. Nothing compared to yours, but my daughter is away. My older daughter Zoe, she's 10, is away at her first like overnight sleepaway camp for most of a week, and
that's intense for a 10-year-old. You know.
Oh yeah, and she's an anxious kid too. So it's been tough on her. And she's got like an Apple Watch and an iPod Touch that she can get in touch with us on, and she will video call us every once in a while.
Sure.
And it has been tough on her. But I think this is really going to be good for her because it's going to kind of help her grow a bit.
Yeah. And that homesickness is good to go through and then overcome. If they can,
yeah, and get and come out clean on the other side.
That's right.
But what I didn't realize was I always thought that I was the parent who's like, you know, you'll be okay, you deal with it.
Sure.
Because I kind of always have been that way, but I'm learning a lot about myself as a parent this week because I cannot get anything done. I am constantly worried about her. I've turned into that like nervous, like, oh my God, is she okay? Is everything all right? She hasn't texted me in like 4 hours. Is she having fun or is she kidnapped?
Yeah, no. And you know what? Here's the fun part. I thought when I had 10-year-olds, which wasn't that long ago, that would just be it. You know, they hit 18 and I go, okay, I don't have to worry anymore. No, it's just, it's almost worse. It's like,
well, that's what I told my wife is that at the same time that Zoe is kind of getting out on her own for the first time and being by herself, that's part of what this camp, it's a STEM camp, so science, technology, engineering, and math, so it's all part of that
fun.
Stuff that she's interested
in. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff that she's interested in, she's going to have fun, but it's also, they build themselves as sort of like leadership and character building because the whole point is for them to be out on their own, right?
Right.
And they're on a college campus and stuff like that. And it's 2 hours away from us. But anyway, I told her, this is going to be great for her. She's going to learn some independence that she really, really needs to prove to herself that she can, you know, survive without us on her own and everything. Because like I said, she's a pretty anxious kid.
Yeah.
And but it's also, it felt very much like we were dropping her off at college. And it's just like practice for us, too.
Yeah, dude. It doesn't get any easier either. So I feel your... I feel your whatever that is. I don't know if it's pain, but I feel your.
It's. I definitely feel a feeling in my stomach. every moment so far.
Well,
and haven't been getting a lot of sleep.
Good luck to her, and I hope she makes a ton of friends and has a great time. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher is going to join us. We're going to talk about some insane news that I heard over the weekend. I cannot believe is true. I thought I was sick and delirious when I heard it, but it's happening. We'll get to that and a bunch of other stuff coming up. Love having Steven on. That'll be after this break where we have a song. And Brian gave me the info for this. So this is an indie band. So we're doing an indie in the middle. And they are a rock funk group from St. Louis, Missouri. You might be familiar with St. Louis, Missouri or St. Louis,
Missouri. I love funk music, so I'm going to have to
listen. Brian described him as like got a little bit of Chili Peppers in there. Kind of like maybe even like they sound a little bit like Live in their vocals, the band Live.
Cool.
Which I was a huge fan of those guys. Anyway, this is one of the first singles of their planned 6-set EP coming later this year. This is a brand new track called, hold on, the song is called Comes Back On. And again, the band is... Cavo, C-A-V-O, I believe. Let me make sure that's right. I don't want to screw this up. Cavo, there it is. C-A-V-O, all in caps. So check out this song. We'll be back in a moment with Steven. Stay tuned.
Time.
work, as she never tires of pointing out, is never done. But modern automatic cookers do make it easier, as demonstrated at the Amsterdam Household Fair. Husbands like to know what's cooking.
Hey, kids, spaghetti for lunch.
And we're back once again. That was Cavo and their hot new single, Comes Back On. And watch for more of them later this year. Thank you, Brian, for setting that up for me. All right, we're going to get Steven all up in it, inside of it, part of it. Symbiotic relationship with Steven, you know.
I like it.
Yeah, he's great. We love him. I think he's in the chat. I don't actually know. I didn't see. I've not been able to look at the chat because I've been too nervous. I'm going to screw something up today. It's been a while since I've done a proper TMS, but anyway, here we go.
And now, welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, he is. It's Steven Schleicher joining us from MajorSpoilers.com, headquartered in beautiful Kansas, the state of Kansas.
Steven, good morning, Scott.
Welcome back. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Bobby.
Aww.
Hey, good morning.
It's fantastic to have you. What's on your what's going on? How are you feeling?
Well, I was going to come on and talk about what a wonderful time I had in Denver last week.
Yeah.
But considering that Brian's gone through some stuff and you've gone through some stuff and Bobby's going through some stuff, I'll talk about all the bad things that happened when I went on my wonderful trip.
Oh, good, good. Fantastic. Because I only want to hear negative things today if we can. That'd be wonderful.
So we ended up, you know, we knew Fan Expo was going on, but, you know, three-fourths of the family has zero interest in going to a comic book convention. And so we ended up staying at a hotel literally across the street from the convention.
Oh, my.
And then Brian messaged me and he says, oh, I was too busy with to respond to your email. I'm so sorry. I said, we're staying at this hotel called The Slate, which is an old grade school that they've converted into a hotel.
That's totally cool. Awesome. Tell me how that looks for real quick. Hold on.
First of all, I had to drop the family off because there was no parking at The Slate. Oh. So I dropped them off and then my wife is like, oh, we're up in this room. And the minute you step into the stairwell, I'm like, this is an old school because it's got the tile and the stairs that you remember from like grade school. If you went to a multi-story grade school back in the day.
I did. Yeah.
And so it was really cool. The hallways were nice and wide. So that was cool.
That is cool. So is like classrooms are like cordoned off and to be hotel rooms and that kind of thing?
Or? Yeah. And I don't know if the way that everything is structured, I don't know if they found some antique lighting or anything, but it felt like every room could have been a classroom.
Oh, interesting. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love that. I'd never even heard of that. That sounds like a rad place to stay. All right. So far, it's really cool. Yeah. Having a better time than we did. All right.
Yeah. So I'm messaging back and forth with Brian and it's like, oh, we're staying at the Slate. He's like, oh, I was at Fan Expo today. And I think he meant that he was at Fan Expo. So he went and we weren't able to see Brian. And then it turns out the Spagnolos are also taking a trip to Denver. And guess who decided to go to the Fan Expo?
They did.
The Spagnolos. Yeah. So all three of us were within less than probably a quarter of a mile of each other.
But never saw each other.
And never saw each other.
Oh, well.
So that's a bad thing.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I know they were trying to all hook up and it just, I don't know. Sometimes this stuff doesn't work. I get it.
And people from Colorado, I love the state of Colorado. It's a beautiful state, but man, your roads suck. They are just in such poor conditions. Yeah. More on that in a moment.
Yeah.
So we parked it. I had to stay in long-term parking. You know.
By the way, I'll bet you money they would say that that's due to all the snow and snow removal.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But anyway.
I'm sure it is. But there are some massive potholes right on the middle of I-70 that you cannot avoid.
Oh, my Lord.
So I had to park a couple blocks away at a long-term stay. And the next day, we're getting out because we're going to go to Meow Wolf, which I'll talk more about that when Brian's back, because I think he'll be very interested to hear my reactions to that.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear. I'm excited about that. I forgot.
But we get in the car, and there's a sheet of paper on the windshield. It's like, when is this BS? And so I grab it, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I hit your truck. Here's my phone number. And oh, great. Go out, and there's like, they kind of scraped up the paint just a little bit. But they cracked the whole passenger side light, the backup light, rear backup light.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was like, okay, this is going to be a pain in the butt. But okay, at least they didn't do any serious damage to the car. So we'll skip ahead to the end of the of the trip, we're coming back on these horrible roads of Colorado.
And the engine catches on fire.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh.
But we hit a pothole, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I was like, I think we just lost that light that the person hit. And sure enough, that whole light, just the pothole knocked it loose, and it went sailing out into the ditch somewhere.
Oh, so. My gosh, dude. Did you have to go get it, or you just kept driving?
No, I'm not stopping and trying to dig around in a ditch with snakes for an hour trying to find a light.
To recover an already broken light.
Yeah.
Oh, see, it wasn't a perfect week at all, but you had a lot of fun
It was a lot of fun. Really, if people get a chance to go to Meow Wolf, it was a lot of fun. Mm. And the Denver Aquarium, I think that's what it's called, Denver Aquarium, is really a lot of fun as well. So destination places.
Heard good things from Brian in particular about that, but
I would avoid the Denver Zoo. We went and half the animals weren't there. Didn't get to see any lions, no tigers, no bears.
Oh, well, what's the point of that then?
I know, right?
And that's the staple.
Denver Zoo is kind of expensive for what you get.
Yeah, we have a similar situation here at our zoo, although it's been better in recent years. But there was a time there where, you know, I'm like, if I'm going to spend $50 or whatever the day pass is on a Sunday, mm-hmm. you better have some damn animals for me to look at, or else what are we doing here? Like, what is the point of this place?
Yeah.
And whenever there's like, the lions are being, they're having their nits done or some bullshit. And you're like, no, get them out here. We're gonna just close the zoo then, you buttholes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. The Denver Zoo is like $84 a person.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And okay. By the time we were halfway through, we're like, there's no animals here. So we left after about 2 hours.
That's like 90s era Disneyland tickets. That's like expensive. All right. Well,
I do have a bit of good news for you, Scott.
Oh, what's the good news?
You are our prime to go see Asteroid City.
I am. I'm getting there. I'm gonna try to. It looks like it's not streaming anywhere, so I'm gonna have to watch Moonrise Kingdom rented.
Oh, wait until tomorrow.
Why? Why?
When it drops on digital early, Amazon Prime, iTunes, Vudu, Google Play, all of them are like Asteroid City tomorrow morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Is a buyable, a rentable, or what?
I think it is, you can buy or rent it.
I can rent that tomorrow?
Yep. Yep. Well, I got the press release this morning. So.
I'm doing that. Okay. Here's what I'm doing then. Check this out. Tonight, I'm watching Moonrise Kingdom. Shut up all these Parasite people for a minute, okay? Just forget Moonrise about Kingdom Parasite.
That's a good one.
I'm going to watch Moonrise Kingdom tonight. That means I'm caught up. I've seen every Wes Anderson film. I'd already seen most of them, but I've caught up now on the ones I've missed. That means I'll be caught up. And then tomorrow, I rent that. That's what's happening. I'm doing it.
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. I'm sure it's not doing great in the theaters, but there have been a couple of like, A24 did this with Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Mm-hmm.
That was, that dropped like very soon after it was in theaters. Mm. There have been a couple of other movies recently where like within a week or two of release, it's up on a streaming service.
Real quick, a micro review of The French Dispatch.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I think that the middle's bloated. It's my only complaint.
Which story is that one?
It's the one the
kidnapping one.
The Dune kid.
I know Chevalier or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that whole thing. That one gets a little long in the tooth. It's not terrible or anything, but I thought the first one, the artist in prison deal,
mm-hmm, that was
because it's basically an anthology, is what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. Which is unusual for him. He doesn't usually do this, but it is really good. That whole first thing is so good. Oh my gosh. But it's crazy going when you watch his movies back to back, it's crazy because you're like, oh, there's all his usuals. Like all these people that love being in his movies, they're all in them. And mm-hmm. then the next movie rolls around, you're like, oh, here's all those same people, but also three or four other people thrown in that are new that have all been begging and will say, I'll work for free if you just put me in your movie. Yeah. Edward Norton says he made $4,000 on Moonrise Kingdom. And people are like, are you kidding? Because you made like $22 million for the Hulk, that bad Hulk movie. And he's like, this is what we do to work with Wes Anderson. These movies don't make tons of money, but we're dying to work on them. And so all of these actors, like this A-list of Asteroid City people think, oh, how are they paying these people? It's because they are all working for nothing to be just a part of it. And I'm just in this mood right now. I just can't get enough of it. It's so good. Anyway.
I really like the color scheme of Grand Budapest Hotel, but there's something about the flat color scheme in Asteroid City that hurts my eyes.
Oh, really? I mean, it looks like the most Wes Anderson ass thing I've ever seen in the trailer.
Oh yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, but the one, well, what caught me off guard, Grand Budapest Hotel is, I mean, that's the one that won an Oscar, right? That won Best Picture, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to make me laugh so hard. There were moments in that where I was like rolling.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, I didn't. I can't think of the actor now.
Who's the guy? He's from.
It's
He's the cleaner. In Tarantino movie.
You're talking about the wolf. Yeah.
Yeah, the wolf.
Murphy
Brown. No, that's not it. Harvey Keitel is what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't recognize that dude. And he shows up and I just went, what the frick is he even doing in this? And he owned it. Oh my gosh, such a great movie. Can't say enough about Grand Budapest, which is on Max or Hulu. I don't remember where I watched it. Anyway, Steven, let's get to this breaking news. Well, before we do that, I have a phone call. You want to hear this? This is for you.
Sure.
Or it's kind of about you. This is a SAG-AFTRA thing about the strike and all that.
Somebody's going to tell me more than I don't
know. I don't think they're calling you out so much as just complimenting your conversation or something. Oh, okay. But here it is. Let's see what they said. Actually, it's been a while, too, so I don't remember what they said. This is from last week. So here we go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Blake from New York City. I'm calling about TMS. You guys were talking with Steven about the writer's strike and the upcoming potential SAG-AFTRA strike as well. I am a member of SAG-AFTRA and Actors Equity Association. And the strike, while someone like Tom Cruise, for your example, will support the strike, and it's really not affecting him because you're right, he's going to be making, you know, millions of dollars for whatever movie he does. He's supporting the little guy like me or, you know, other actors who might just be a day player or have a reoccurring role on a TV show. And we are making minimum, the minimum scale is what they call it. So, that hasn't come up in a long time. So it's not really, in congruence with the cost of living. And then the other major thing that the writers are working on and that's affecting us as actors as well is residuals and specifically for streaming services. You're giving them, the studios, your intellectual property or as an actor, something that you, a character that you created, and they're making thousands or millions of dollars off of it after the fact. And you get a check in the mail for $2, and that's just not right. So just wanted to fill you guys in. All right. Love the show. Bye.
Some good insight.
I don't think we, hopefully we didn't try to paint the picture that it was not, and it was a waste of time and everything. Cause I totally support everybody going on strike for these things. And, and yes, the minimum, which is probably what the $4,000 that, that the actor was paid for a Wes Anderson movie, that's probably your day scale, right? Mm-hmm, or maybe even a little bit more. But everybody deserves a lot more when a studio is making millions of dollars off of people's work.
Yeah, especially.
And certainly the residuals are a big thing too.
Yeah, residuals are messed up. The more you learn about it, the more it kind of blows my mind. I know a couple of writers who are worked on giant projects like Rogue One and, you know, big Star Wars things, and they get piddly squat. In the long run, they just don't get, but in the long run, Disney's making so much money. So it just feels like it's uneven.
Yeah. If you really want to dive deep into that area, you need to look at the subject called Hollywood Accounting and how a movie like Empire Strikes Back, released 30 years ago, still has not made any money.
Oh yeah. That's a weird one, right? Wow. I remember reading about that. Like, I guess,
I mean, and this has happened multiple times where there are a few movies. I think Thor 2 was one of the more recent ones. And I know one of the amazing Spider-Man movies was this way too, where people had to take the studios to court to show, you know, where's your accounting on this? Why are we not getting paid the money that we deserve? So it would be nice if some of those practices would go away.
I agree. Hopefully that stuff improves and this strike ends up in a very positive place for creators and writers. We'll have to see. It feels like a moment though, doesn't it? Where everything's just kind of screeching to a halt and we're going to have a real bummer of a content layout next year. It's going to be weird. All right, Steven, news is, look, we're finally getting to it. Elektra returning to the big screen. And I don't just mean the character. I mean, Jennifer Garner is coming back as Elektra in the Deadpool 3 movie, which seems just about perfect for something like that. But I don't know who was asking for this. That movie's so bad, dude. It's real bad. I love Jennifer Garner.
I mean,
though, so
watch the director's cut of that movie. If you want to see a better version of the movie, the director's cut makes the movie so much better and makes it a lot more sense. Not, it doesn't even, you know, hold a candle to the Daredevil Netflix series or the Marvel Studios series.
Right.
But yeah, definitely the director's cut is a much better version. So Ryan Reynolds, who was in the movie, he was in the Adam Project. And mm-hmm. so was Jennifer Garner. They were both husband and wife in that movie. You may remember seeing that. So apparently they had a lot of good working relationship with that. Sean Levy was the one who directed that. And I believe he is the one that is directing this Deadpool 3. So yeah, it makes sense that the three of them would get together and want to do something with Elektra in this piece. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I mean, yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see her come in. Now, whether she's going to be in for, you know, a big part or whether she's going to be doing the Matt Damon kind of quick cameo,
right,
as in Deadpool 2, that's left to be seen.
Yeah. Did you see this? It's kind of breaking. I think it maybe happened early this morning or something, but Ryan Reynolds put up a Instagram story with a photo showing him in his Deadpool costume walking with Hugh Jackman in his yellow and black nice Wolverine bullshit. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my gosh. Here, I'll put it in Discord. Chat can see okay it now because I'm showing it. But this is the greatest thing in the history of ever. Like, I don't know why I'm so in for this. Obviously, it's
I mean, they might as well have fun with it, right? Yeah, so
scroll down a bit to see it, but
yeah, I see it. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Yeah, they're like going. They're just going all in. It's like, hey, yeah, if we're gonna have him here, let's finally.
This will
get
probably
him in
be the suit last Deadpool movie.
Yeah, I think so. Right? You finish out strong
well,
in the third, and
I mean, certainly there's a thing about franchises where you can go on forever, right? But this is the first Deadpool movie post Disney buying Fox, mm-hmm, and I think Disney was kind of like, we don't know what to do with Deadpool, because we don't know what to do with something that is not family friendly.
Yeah.
And so I think they were just like, let's see what happens. But I'm pretty sure that everybody involved is like, yeah, I think three and done is enough for us.
Do you think now that it's a Disney, 100% Disney produced thing means that they could say, well, whatever, in the next Avengers, Deadpool shows up. You know what I mean?
They could. They totally could. I mean, that's what everybody's waiting for with the X-Men, right? Is Disney going to put the X-Men and the Avengers together on the screen at the same time or give us even more X-Men stuff?
Yeah.
Not going to be for a while.
It's a good reminder. I haven't even seen Deadpool 2. I don't know why I missed it. I just didn't see it.
It's pretty good.
I liked the first one a lot. So
I don't think it is as good as the first one, but it's definitely up there.
Also,
so is Deadpool 3 going to have an R rating?
Oh. That's the other question, right? I mean, it depends on what banner they release it under. If they're going to release it under a Fox Pictures kind of thing or a 20th Century Fox, they could get away with an R rating on that.
I think they have to. They have to.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Deadpool is on Disney Plus, but you have to have the parental account and use your PIN number to unlock that. So
yeah. Yeah. If they don't though, like that would shock me if they didn't go for the R rating. Cause that's just the first two movies are hard R. Like,
mm-hmm, yeah,
they don't
have
to be a soft R.
That's what I really think that's what people want with it anyway. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they expect. So yeah, if you change those expectations, I think you're playing with fire a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of how I feel about Blade. I don't want them to hold back on Blade. I need it to be bloody and, you mm-hmm know, over the top and super violent. And I don't necessarily need, you know, I don't need people bumping their uglies for 2 hours. I'm not asking for that. I just want some good, hardcore, bloody, true to the character action. And you can't, I don't think you can change Deadpool to do that. I did see a picture though. What is Ruffalo doing with these guys? Is the Hulk confirmed as part of this?
Cause I haven't heard anything about that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Right.
Cause they were all hanging out at some presser thing and it was Jackman, him. I can't remember who were there. Some people from the previous two films and stuff, but then off to the side, there's old Mark Ruffalo hanging out. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Is Hulk in this? Because I'm all for that.
I mean,
so the Hulk is going to throw.
This point, Ryan Reynolds is probably, I don't want to say he's bankable, and I don't want to say he is the most important person in Hollywood. because that would still go to Steven Spielberg and, you know, some of the greats there. Mm-hmm. But if Ryan Reynolds called you up and said, hey, listen, Disney, I want to use Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk in this movie, they would have to say yes on that.
I think they would. But
I mean, he is.
But also this
personality and presence is just so great that to say no to Ryan Reynolds, it would be like, let's just flush money down the toilet. Oh, sorry, Scott. Sorry,
I didn't mean to bring bad memories. Well, at least I can flush it down the toilet now. I'd be happy to do that. But, you know, this old stereotype of the Hulk chucking Wolverine, we're getting that. Mm-hmm. That's happening. Like, there's mm-hmm. no way that's not happening. He'll be all green with his purple pants all torn up. You'll have Hugh Jackman in his freaking yellow and black 90s ass costume, and the Hulk is going to throw him at something. I can't wait for this. I'm so excited. Yeah. The other thing was, I was going to say, we watched for Film Sack, we watched Green Lantern. We haven't been able to do the episode yet because of all our issues. But, I have something to say that may not be popular or it may be controversial. And this is just a preview of how we'll talk about the show when we get there. But I really liked the core, and by the core, I mean the actual like Lantern core. Lore mm-hmm. and the space stuff, like the lore behind mm-hmm. it, the way they explain the Guardian stuff. I thought that stuff was great. I hadn't seen the film yet, so I've been putting it off because I was like, I hear this is terrible. Why would I watch this? I don't want to be disappointed. I really like Green Lantern. This deserves more. Every time they did anything on Earth, it was kind of lame. But the minute they got out there and started dealing with what the core is and how it works and who's what and yellow and green and all this, that shit was cool, man. Like, I was surprised about that.
Yeah,
it's
not a horrible movie, but it's also not a great movie.
No, definitely not.
Right there in a good slot right there. I think the thing, there are a couple of, I mean, there's many things, even Ryan Reynolds will talk to you about why that movie didn't do the things that he thought it should do. But I think they should not have had Hal Jordan in the piece. The first Green Lantern movie that you have, and everyone who knows Green Lantern only knows John Stewart from the animated series. And so they're like, what's this white guy doing on the screen? We want to see John Stewart.
Yeah. Mm. I could have gone for John Stewart. I could have gone for, mm-hmm. and maybe we still will get to go for those things when James Gunn has his way over there. But, I'm okay with a Hal Jordan story, but I feel like it should have been told in the Frontiers era of like old school, like pilot
50s,
in the
60s.
Yeah. That would have been all right. You know,
I mean, because that's, I mean, really the Hal Jordan character is this modern space cowboy guy, because when his character is introduced, we are, you know, at the cusp of or the beginning of the space race.
Yeah.
And so what a perfect time to take a transition from a Western comic into a space comic and bring a cop procedural into that with Hal Jordan.
I mean, he hated that movie, complains about it to this day, but Ryan Reynolds should be a little thankful. He met his now wife on there and they have three really pretty little kids. Like, his whole family probably owes a debt to the Green Lantern.
And I bet he has the costume.
Yeah, he probably does. That stupid throbbing costume, man. All right. What else? Oh, not everyone has pulled out of the San Diego Comic-Con. Tell me who hasn't, because it's been a real
shit show. So we talked a couple of weeks ago, leading up, going back to the SAG-AFTRA thing, that a lot of studios pulled out because they're like, we're not going to have any actors and we don't have any scriptwriters, so how can we go and promote this film? But it looks like a couple of people are going, and this may, I'm not going to add any other commentary on there, but Max Original Animation is going to be there talking about their animated stuff. Certainly there's a lot of animosity with where animation writers and talent are in relation to the big screen regular stuff that we have. But Max Original Animations, we're going to see Adventure Time, Fiona Cake, and some others show up. Paramount Pictures is going to go ahead and bring their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which is also an animated piece, to the show floor on Hall H.
Yeah,
and then we've got Project K talking about, you know, sci-fi stuff out of India. And that's about it. I mean, there's some Wheel of Time stuff that Apple is coming to the... No, I'm sorry, Prime Video is doing with that. Good Burger 2. I didn't know that there was going to be a second Good Burger, but there you go.
I mean, it's only 30-year gap between them, right? Or something?
I know, right? So we're seeing a lot of the small streamer... I shouldn't say small streamers, because Paramount and Peacock are, you know, they're big studios attached to it. But again, we're not seeing the big... the big studio stuff that's coming, but people will be there and be able to hopefully interact with some stars. I think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which is the animated movie, will be interesting to see what they do with that. Mm-hmm. It says panel discussion and footage presentation with filmmakers. So that could just be directors and producers and no actors in that one.
Wow. Oh, they're doing What We Do in the Shadows thing. That's cool. I'll watch that. Yeah, there's stuff. By the way, you mentioned animation over at WB and HBO and all that.
Uh-huh.
There's the show on HBO Max, or Max, sorry, that I watched last year, and now there's a new season of it, and I'm back into it, and I love it. It's called 10-Year-Old Tom.
And I've seen that one.
If you guys have not went past that one, it looks dumb or whatever, you should totally watch it. It's great. Dry humor, makes me laugh, tons of great guest stars. Freaking David Duchovny plays an ice cream man. It's so good. It's so good. I absolutely love it. It's drawn like ass, but that's the point. It's supposed to look like crap. But do not sleep on 10-year-old Tom, literally or figuratively. All right. Steven, this sounds great. As always, you're bringing us the hot big news of the week in pop culture and comics and more. And that's what I get out of majorspoilers.com. Is there anything happening over there that you'd like to tell the fine folks about?
We've been off for a couple of weeks with our Critical Hit podcast. If you want to see, our heroes punch Nazis in the face and prevent Lovecraftian horrors from entering our universe, then you want to go check that out. It returns this weekend, and it's a lot of fun. And in the meantime, as it's still summertime, get out there and do some fun things, but also stay hydrated.
Yeah, my main goal this whole week was to stay hydrated. I thought of you a lot the whole time. I was like, you know what? Steven would tell me this today. Drink some damned water. Thanks, Steven. We'll see you later. It's always good having him on, you know?
For sure.
I like him. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Real quick, Bobby, people need to know where to get their science fix. I know I do. So where do they go? What's the show called? What did you guys just talk about, or what are you about to talk about?
Well, the show, my science podcast, is called All Around Science. Me and my co-host, Maura, we talk about science every week, what's going on in science news, and just the things that we're interested in. And this last episode that just came out on Monday is a really good example of both of those things, because A, one of the biggest news stories of the year in terms of science news broke about a week ago, and we talked about that. It has to do with gravitational waves and new ways that we can detect them, and I promise you, it's not just like, oh, there's a new thing we can do. Like, this is really big news, and it's really cool. We can now detect gravitational waves that have a wavelength of literal light years.
Goodness.
And it's really cool how they did it and why it's important. So check that out. Also, we started the episode that came out yesterday on the same episode. Is the first in what is going to be a four-part series where we talk about the four fundamental forces, like electromagnetism, gravity, strong and weak force. And talk about what those are and what they mean and everything. So we're getting back to fundamentals, if you will.
Ah, and there you put the fun in fundamentals. That's good.
We do put the fun in fundamentals.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
When... Brian Cox, not the actor, but the scientist guy? Do you know who I'm talking about? British guy?
Yep.
Why is it that he could sit there and talk about stupid things and I could listen and I would feel like I could just listen to that guy all day? Do you have anybody like that in the science community where you're just like, just talk on, dude, just keep going? Some people, maybe this is, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, or maybe some people it's just listening to that weird box that what's his name talked through before he died.
Brian Cox is really good. It's something about a British accent talking about science too.
Must be
right?
It. Yeah, must be.
But he's legitimately he's a great science communicator. Physics, he's a physicist. Physics are difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to talk about it. He does a great, great job with that. Someone else I like a lot is that I can listen to all the time in the astronomy world is Phil Plait. If you've ever heard Phil Plait,
he's great. Yeah,
the bad astronomer. That's what he goes by. If you Google that, he's got a great blog that I've been reading for a long, long time. He does any time something new in the space world happens, I go there first. But he's also, I can listen. He's a really great science communicator. I can listen to him talk about things.
Oh, Dr. Kiki's real good too. She's she deserves a mention. She's fantastic.
Fantastic.
A little more, little more in our orbit too. She's she's from the ground up kind of podcaster, and she's done really amazing stuff. Well, tune in, All Around Science, everybody. And Bobby, having you here, well, it's been a damned pleasure.
Likewise, it's been a damned pleasure.
A damned pleasure. Chat room, stick around because we're going to pick titles after this, and one of yours could be chosen coming up shortly. Real quick, I got an update from Brian. It was a text. He says Tina is doing much better. She is coming home around noon. So in a couple hours, Tina will be home, convalescing in her own home, which is where you really want to be these days. And not in some stuffy hospital, and sounds like things are going well. That probably just means the meds have taken hold. We live in an era where pneumonia is not nearly the threat it should be, or used to be, I should say.
As much a threat as it should be.
I'm just glad to hear she's feeling better, because we could use some good news around here. So there you go. And that means Brian should be here tomorrow. So that'll be the plan. And it's always always good to have him back. All right. Real quick. Patreon.com/TMS is the place for you to support us. It is the 10th of the month. That means we are only really a third into this month, and it's a perfect time to join up. Why, do you ask? Well, there's one main reason. We sort of blew it when we started on Patreon because we did, this is early. Nobody knew what they were doing on there. And we did a monthly for a show that we do 16 episodes a month for. It's an insane amount of content for like no money, like a dollar, just a dollar. Like, can you imagine paying a dollar a month for that much content? It's insane. Plus all the extra stuff. It's just crazy. So if you want other things like art in the mail, monthly benefits include a coffee level, pre-show content every week, couch parties on the weekend, all these fun things, no commercials in your feed, that sort of stuff. Well, then now's the time to sign up. Patreon.com/TMS. If you're looking to contact us, find us, email us, text us, all that stuff. You'll find details and links and everything at frogpants.com/TMS. I think it's going to do it. Bobby, I'm going to tell you about another song here before we go. How's that?
Please do.
All right, here we go. This was a request, a cover request from a listener named Perry Groover. Or Grover. I don't know. I don't judge. I don't know nothing about your name. I'll say Groover. Dear Brian, a friend of mine published a book. Each chapter is a song title. So the book is also a playlist. There is a Spotify playlist. Search for Evangeline Williams, I Almost Do. This friend is no small part responsible for my wife and finding her and us finding each other in college. She dragged me to tryouts for the Taming of the Shrew, where I won the pivotal part of the Huntsman number 2. That sounds like a fun role. I eventually won the heart of the goat herderless, herderess. Goat Herderus? Anyway.
Herderus.
Is that the character name in that? I guess I've never seen Taming of the Shrew, so I have no idea.
I just know there's a shrew, and it needs to be tamed.
Yeah, well, who's going to... That shrew can't just run wild, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to try to calm that damn thing down.
Who better than the goat Herderus
I agree.
To tame it?
My wife and I have been married for 29 years. Could you please play I Can't Help Falling in Love by Haley Reinhart or any other song from the playlist? Thank you. Still doing Huntsman number 2. I'm not sure if that means he's still playing it or if that was a reference to something else. I don't know.
Maybe he got what you got.
Maybe.
So he's still doing the Huntsman number 2.
That's right. Double Dragon, baby. Well, we're going to play that song for you. It is exactly what you asked for. Haley Reinhart's Can't Help Falling in Love cover. I have not actually heard it yet, so I'm excited to hear it in post-show so I can agree with Brian that it was a very good choice. Thank you, Perry, for the request, and also grats on 29 years of marriage. That's amazing. Welcome to the club. Let's see, I'm at 31 this year. No, 30. Yeah, 31. That's nuts. Can we just say how nuts that is?
Yeah,
and how old that makes me? Good Lord. Anyway, find the one you love, everybody. That's going to do it for us. Thank you once again, Bobby, for being here. Can't wait to do this again with you sometime.
Yeah, well, I'll be on doing science tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's right. Bobby will be back tomorrow for the segment. Duh.
Can't get rid of me.
Nope. Not that easy. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you then.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I take my whole life too, all for I can't help falling in love with you. Oh, like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Won't take my hand, take my whole life too, for
more at frogpants.com.
Each cold drink order includes one straw.
Well, that's a hell.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.